coming to you from deep inside the vaults of the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music. I am Tom Holmes, your curator and guide to vintage electronic music and audio experimentation. This episode, Strange Sounds from the Movies, 1931 to 1972. In life, we see things and we hear things. While watching a motion picture, these two sensations are fused more strongly and given more emphasis. In our minds, we create a new experience based mostly on sight and sound. French film theorist Michel Chion called this phenomenon the added value of cinema. I am fascinated by film and even more fascinated by the role that sound plays in underscoring the mood and meaning of the experience. Take the same length of footage and apply five drastically different soundtracks to it, and you will get five different impressions of what is happening. That's an elementary film student exercise that demonstrates the weight of the soundtrack to the movie experience. In this episode, we'll listen to examples of electronic music used in film soundtracks from the years 1931 to 1972. This will largely be an exercise in the kinds of instruments being used. The variety of electronic sounds we will explore include the use of instruments such as the theremin, the onde-martenot, the onde-oline, the trautonium, the percussotron, the synquet, the thoe-weephone, the ANS photoelectronic synthesizer, and the Moog modular synthesizer. Plus, we'll have many examples of tape composition using these instruments and other sounds in the studio. For this episode, I will be playing the tracks in chronological order. The playlist for this episode includes more information about each of the films, the directors, and the instrumentation.
Et dans le train qui m'emportait, je revivais cette aventure. Donc j'avais voulu tricher, mais je n'avais pas pu le faire et on m'avait mis à la porte. Or, si j'avais pu tricher, personne ne s'en serait aperçu, puisqu'on a cru que je trichais alors que justement, je ne parvenais pas à le faire. Et si l'on m'a renvoyé cette somme, parce que je n'avais pas triché, le destin s'acharnait contre moi et me poussait à devenir une vraie canaille. Dame, quelle est la première pensée qui peut germer dans la cervelle d'un homme puni pour n'avoir pas triché? Tricher, évidemment. Et voilà la raison pour laquelle je suis devenu tricheur.
The first track was from the Russian film Odna, or Alone, from 1931. It is from a scene that we call The Snowstorm. This is perhaps the earliest motion picture to incorporate a theremin in its score. And in this case, the audio for this part of the film has been lost. But we have this reconstruction by Mark Fitzgerald based on Shostakovich's score. The work was recorded in 2006 and featured Barbara Buchholst playing both tracks of theremin. The second track is from the French film Les Romans de Truchot. It's from 1936. This short sequence featured the owned Martineau and was played during a short traveling sequence on a train. Curiously, the instrument itself was played by Jeanette Martineau, sister of the inventor Maurice Martineau. The next two tracks are different versions of the dream sequence from the Spellbound Suite. Spellbound was a movie by Alfred Hitchcock with music by Miklos Rosa. It came out in 1945, and this used the theremin. Thank you. The name Dr. Samuel Hoffman will come up several times in this episode for his theremin playing. The podiatrist from Hollywood had a side gig as a session musician on this difficult instrument. The most famous thereminist at the time was Clara Rockmore, but because she refused to use the instrument to make spooky sounds for movies, many of these jobs came to the unapologetic Hoffman. This recording was by Al Goodman and his orchestra and featured Hoffman, who was in the original soundtrack a year earlier. Note that there is a vocalist doubling the theremin, but at a higher octave. For comparison, I wanted you to hear another recording of the dream sequence from Spellbound. This recording is from 1958 by Raymond John Heindorf and his orchestra. The fidelity is a little better on this track, and the theremin is played without the added vocalist. The next two tracks are from the famous science fiction film The Day the Earth Stood Still, released in 1951. The score is by Bernard Herrmann. Both of these tracks feature the theremin, played by Samuel Hoffman again. The first track is Gort, The Visor, The Telescope, and the second track is The Captive, Terror. Yeah. Samuel Hoffman on theremin and a wonderful orchestral score by Herrmann, making the theremin such a prominent part of the mix, provided a terrifyingly strange sound to audiences of 1951. The second track, The Captive, also features the Hammond Nova chord in the ending part. Herrmann blended the electronic instruments with the timbres of the orchestra so well that it really disarms the listener. Early electronic instruments such as the theremin and owned martinet were intended to be played live in musical performance. The arrival of magnetic tape in the 1950s also inspired an entirely new school of strange movie sounds created using tape effects and sounds that could only be produced in a studio. A prime example of this is the music of Lewis and B.B. Baron, created for the movie Forbidden Planet. We'll hear three tracks showing the diversity of their work.
Thank you.
Those three tracks were from Forbidden Planet, with music by Lewis and B.B. Baron. These date from 1956. We heard the main title, Battle with the Invisible Monster, and Ancient Krell Music. Lewis and B.B. Baron were a husband and wife team from New York who worked with tape composition for television and the movies. B.B. explained to me once that they would essentially hand-make little circuits, oscillators, filters, ring modulators, and such, and then play them with the tape recorder running until the hardware literally fizzled. They then listened back to what they had captured and used a tape editing process to put it together for their compositions. They would refer to their self-destructive circuits by name, almost like members of the family. This work for the movie Forbidden Planet was labeled in the credits as Electronic Tonalities provided by Lewis and B.B. Baron. The third track I played is one that we don't often hear, and it is a reproduction, so to speak, of the music of the ancient Krells, the extinct inhabitants of the Forbidden Planet. What does their music sound like? Well, it sounds a lot like Electronic Tonalities of the Barons back on Earth. Although most of the examples in this episode are from motion pictures, the two that begin the next segment are from television programs in the U.S. and Germany. Thank you. The first track was music from the television series One Step Beyond. It was called Fear, composed by Harry Lubin. I always thought that the instrument used in this theme was the theremin, a raspy version of the theremin, but a theremin nonetheless. But closer inspection of the liner notes for this album only mentions the trautonium. So the trautonium it is, recorded in Germany. The instrument had ribbon controllers to make the gliding notes entirely possible. The next track was called Outside Atmosphere, and it was from the German television show Space Patrol, The Fantastic Adventures of the Spaceship Orion. It's from Germany, it's from 1966. Peter Thomas and his sound orchestra were responsible for the music of this popular German science fiction series, which was only 7 episodes long. Working with the Siemens Corporation, Thomas created a musical instrument called the Thoeyphone, today being exhibited in the Deutsche Museum in Munich. It was a small upright device with 12 oscillators, and a 3-octave keyboard. The oscillators could be tuned independently to achieve some strange tonalities. Thomas did a lot of film work and television work. Among his credits are, curiously enough, the soundtrack to Chariot of the Gods and the main title music for The Big Boss, a Bruce Lee Kung Fu movie. The Tho Weifone is heard primarily at the end of this track. Now we move back to the movies. The next track was Dream from 1968 from the movie Girl on a Motorcycle. That was followed by another track from Girl on a Motorcycle called Surrender to a Stranger. Music by Les Reed. Electronic music for this film, starring Marianne Faithfull, was credited as being made at Shepperton and Putney, the first a movie studio, and the second, the private electronic music studio of Peter Zinoviev, 2 years before he would found Electronic Music Studios, or EMS, and manufacture the famous British portable synth called the EMS VCS3. Zinoviev offered his studio and services for special effects and music editing. The next track was Sputnik Code from a movie called Sebastian from the UK in 1968. The only contribution to this soundtrack not credited to Jerry Goldsmith was this number by Tristram Cary, a British composer, and in 1967, the founder of the electronic music program at the Royal College of Music, the first of its kind in Britain. He had an extensive home studio, which is where this work was most likely composed. In 1969, Cary joined Peter Zinoviev to co-found EMS, the synthesizer company mentioned earlier. The next four tracks feature the Ond Martineau, which was resurgent in the 1960s, just before the arrival of the big bad Moog synthesizer, and the Ondialine, an electronic organ invented in the 1940s. Thank you. The first two tracks we heard were composed by Maurice Jarre for the famous movie Lawrence of Arabia, a UK production produced in 1962. The tracks we heard were That Is the Desert and also Lawrence and the Bodyguard. Here we have two of his uses of the Ond Martineau, the first to provide atmosphere for a desert scene and the second a rendering of the title theme on the electronic instrument. The third track was Anya 2 from the movie Billion Dollar Brain, a Ken Russell film with music by Richard Rodney Bennett. This is from 1967. Richard Rodney Bennett composed the music that included passages played on the Ond Martineau. The fourth track was a curious little tune composed by Dave Grusin from the movie The Heart is a Lonely Hunter from 1968. The track is called Married People. Dave Grusin took a delightful side turn during this soundtrack of mostly chamber jazz, playing this song on the Ondia line, a monophonic electronic organ invented in 1948. Enter the Moog synthesizer. The next sequence features three tracks, two of which feature early uses of the Moog synthesizer in soundtracks, and the third, a multi-instrumental track by the marvelous composer Stu Phillips. Thank you. The first track is the main title from The Name of the Game is Kill, music by Stu Phillips. The name Stu Phillips is synonymous with some of the most creative and jazzy soundtracks for what could only be called the B-movies of the 1960s and 1970s. In this main title for the film The Name of the Game is Kill, he employed Paul Beaver to overdub tracks of the Moog modular synthesizer onto tracks that were already recorded with other instruments. This is one of the earliest uses of the Moog on film. The soundtrack also features versatile percussionist Emil Richards, who had a Moog record of his own called Stones in 1967, which I argue is the first commercial recording of the instrument, also done with Paul Beaver. Next was the James Bond theme from the movie On Her Majesty's Secret Service in 1969. After Wendy Carlos and Switched on Bach was such a success in late 1968, the Moog modular synthesizer was all the rage in popular music for the next 3 years. Record companies seemed compelled to add a Moog whenever they could. This even extended to the James Bond movie franchise. The story goes that John Barry, the composer of the music, was reluctant to use the Moog synthesizer for a James Bond movie, but did so while insisting that it be played live in real time with the orchestra. In comes Phil Ramone to help produce and probably play the Moog for this pretty strange rendition of the James Bond theme used at the end of the movie. Next was the track Hawaii, Waimea Straight Down, from 1969 and the movie Follow Me. This was tape composition, another wonderful mix of genres and sound by Stu Phillips for this surfing movie. There is no obvious synthesizer heard, but there are tape effects galore and an amazing arrangement with so many combinations of textures and sounds. Now for the unique sounds of electronic music from three not-so-familiar movies. The first two tracks are by Gil Millet from the 1971 film The Andromeda Strain. The third track is music by Ennio Morricone for the film Sacco and Vanzetti in 1971. And the third and fourth tracks are from the Russian composer Eduard Artemyev and his marvelous ambient electronic soundtrack for the film Solaris in 1972. Thank you. The first two tracks we heard were from the movie The Andromeda Strain, the first track being The Piedmont Elegy and the second track Strobe Crystal Green. Gil Millay was a jazz leader who invented electronic instruments that his players could use alongside their trumpets, drums, and saxophones. He was hired to create the all-electronic soundtrack to this science fiction film in 1971, in which scientists are trapped inside their lab with a killer strain of virus. Many of the sounds were constructed around Millay's use of the instrument he invented called the percussitron. This was played with mallets while standing up. The instrument itself consisted of a round central unit about the size of a snare drum that housed the electronic controls for 8 smaller satellite drum surfaces attached to the perimeter of the central unit. Millay could get an amazing variety of sounds from this device, as evidenced on this soundtrack. The soundtrack itself, by the way, was also unique in that it was octagonal in shape, including the vinyl disc itself. The third track was La Sedia Elettrica from the movie Sacco and Vanzetti, with music by Ennio Morricone. For this track, he singled out one electronic instrument, the cinquette. Invented by Paul Kitoff in 1963, only about 6 instruments were ever made. Morricone and John Eaton were two of the only composers to write for the cinquette. To play this piece, Morricone called upon his friend Walter Branchi, with whom he played in a free improvisation group that used electronic instruments. The cinquette was a small synthesizer by comparison to the Moog and Buchla models of the time. The desktop instrument was essentially 3 identical monophonic synthesizers in one, all controlled in real time by 3 separate mini keyboards. The keys could also be wiggled from side to side to add expression to the tones. The last two tracks we heard were from the movie Solaris, a Russian film from 1972. The music was by Eduard Artemyev. The original album states that music and noise recorded on the photoelectron synthesizer ANS. The ANS synthesizer is a photoelectronic musical instrument created by Russian engineer Evgeny Mirzin from 1937 to 1957. To create sine-like waves, light was shown through an etching on a glass disc to activate a series of 20 photocells to generate audio signals. Each disc could have 144 individual tracks. The system was microtonal and polyphonic. There was only one such machine. Artemyev used it to create the ambient, haunting electronic sounds for this science fiction film. We heard 2 tracks that demonstrated the variety of sounds that the ANS synthesizer could produce. They were tracks Movement 2 and Movement 14. For more information about the instruments you heard in this episode, please read my book, Electronic and Experimental Music, 6th edition, published this year. We will conclude this episode with the archive mix, in which I play 2 tracks at the same time to see what happens. I'll be featuring 2 additional tracks from the movies. The first track is by Stu Phillips, also from the film The Name of the Game is Kill, and is called Sim Gets Hit. This track features the primordial sounds of the bubbling Moog modular synthesizer. At the same time, I'll be playing the track The Summer House from the movie Girl on a Motorcycle, electronic sound effects created at the Putney Studios in London. All of the music heard on this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, comes from the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music, a curated collection of vintage vinyl recordings. All crackles, surface noise, and other imperfections are purely intentional. All intro, outro, and other incidental music is by Tom Holmes. For a complete playlist, go to theholmesarchive.podbean.com. So long from deep inside, the Holmes Archive of Electronic Music.